Let's talk cricket and turn our attention to the Ashes. And part of the SEN cricket family is Simon Katich. We appreciate your time, Kat, and we do apologise for the delay on the back of that tragic news out of Queensland this morning. Let's focus now on the Ashes. Hasn't been the ideal build-up for both teams.
Morning, Tim, and morning to all the listeners. I think, it hasn't. I mean, obviously, the Australian weather across the eastern seaboard hasn't been great for both teams. And given that, you know, the bulk of both squads have come from the T20 World Cup, it will be difficult for them initially just to get back into the rhythm of Test match cricket after such a long break, particularly for the Australians. Obviously, England have played a lot of Test cricket in their home summer just gone. But, it'll be interesting to see where everyone's at. But I'm sure they're preparing as well as they possibly can up there at the moment.
Yeah, well, you were a stickler for preparation. I mean, all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted and, that sort of yourself and let me give you the Langer and Hussey era, all those type of guys where, you know, preparation was key. Really tough to work out the preparation for any of these teams. I mean, England have barely got out outside of Queensland. We are seeing some improvement in the weather and the Australians are not much better. I mean, how can you talk about the preparation on a wicket? We're inside a week before the first test. It's going to be a very interesting first session, I would imagine.
It could well be, particularly if, there is a little bit of humidity and rain around up there and you know, the clouds roll in and the Gabba's got a little bit of grass and moisture in it on day one, which it tends to have. And that's the question that will be asked of both top orders initially, having to weather that new ball and the expectation around such a big series, which is always what happens with an Ashes. But, you know, I think the biggest preparation that the players are going to have to go through in this next week is just getting their minds right and thinking through how they're going to approach, you know, constructing an innings, given that they haven't had that time in the middle. Because ultimately, time in the middle just relaxes your mind to be able to go out there and play. But when you haven't had that time in the middle, or you've just been hitting a white ball that doesn't move, or not letting the ball go because it's T20 cricket, it becomes a bit more of a challenge.
The Tim Payne departure and the Pat Cummins tick off as captain, clearly disruptive. How quickly do you see Australia bouncing back from what has been a traumatic and a fairly much a turmoil-ridden fortnight or more?
Yeah, look, I think it'll bring the group together. You know, these sorts of things, you know, generally galvanise the group. Obviously, you know, it's not ideal given what's happened. But I think, you know, the respect that the team will have for Pat Cummins, given what he's achieved, you know, individually and as a senior player and as vice captain in the last few seasons, I think that, you know, the players will really get behind him and try and make this a really special series for him, his first one as captain. And I think he's got, you know, fantastic support around him in Steve Smith and the senior players there that have, you know, a lot of them now have played a lot of Test cricket. So, that's something I think will happen. And obviously, it's a testing time for Tim Payne and his family. And I'm sure that, you know, everyone there will have their, you know, their thoughts for them as well, given the situation that's unfolded.
There seems to be some speculation that David Warner's being groomed to return to the leadership group. Of course, he was banished because of South Africa. It seemed as though it was a bit of an overzealous punishment long-term for him trying to get back. And we see Steve Smith is allowed to come back into the fray as the vice-captain. Are you a believer that David Warner should have a role as a certified leader, a possible captaincy role of some description going forward?
Yeah, look, it's a good question because I think Ian Chappell summed it up pretty well the other day when, you know, he made the comment around the fact that, you know, Warner has been banned, yet Steve Smith was in charge at the time. So why should it be, you know, one player gets the ban and another doesn't? And he felt that, you know, Steve Smith was probably more culpable as captain for not having having turned a blind eye to it or what was going on. So I think, you know, from a consistency perspective, you know, he probably deserves another chance if Cricket Australia see fit. But given that he was banned, you know, at the time, I can't see them overturning that.
Simon Katich, our guest, going to be part of next Wednesday alongside Jared Waitley and the team as we kick off SEN's Ashes coverage. And then you've got the keeper issue and also the Khawaja stroke head battle as well. I mean, and also the pace attack with Stark and Richardson. Gee, there's some big decisions to be made in the next couple of days for George Bailey and the crew.
Yeah, look, they've already made some big calls already. I mean, there was a big decision to be made around the keeper with replacing Tim Payne. They've made that with Alex Carey. I think, Jai Richardson's form has been outstanding for WA, and he has already made his test debut at the Gabba a few years ago against Sri Lanka. So, he's a fine young prospect. So there's some good decisions that have to be made there. I think they've already made the decision around Marcus Harris opening when they realised that Pekowski probably wasn't going to be right in time with his concussion. So, I don't envy the Australian selectors at the moment, but it's a good situation to be in. With the fact that, a number of guys there have been performing well in the Shield to put their hand up and put some pressure on the incumbents.
The good news for England this morning is that their intra-club game will get underway at Ian Healy Oval at 11 o'clock our time in Melbourne. Of course, the radar looks pretty clear. What do England bring? I mean, we know they're going to bring some fight. We know that Ben Stokes, just the addition of Ben Stokes makes a heck of a difference in regards to what England are going to bring. But I mean, they are ageing. Their bowlers are ageing. What's the positive for England, and what's possibly the negative, Simon?
Well, I think the big positive is that in the last sort of 12 to 18 months, Joe Root has been magnificent. I mean, he's probably single-handedly kept that English batting line up together during some tough little periods, particularly against India recently in England. He's been dominant, and he's been converting those starts. He's always been a very consistent player, but he's now really getting the big hundreds and, setting England up when they need runs, because the top order has been a bit of a revolving door. So it'll be interesting to see how their top order, handle these conditions against our attack. Stokes coming back in is obviously a big plus for them. He's a world-class player, and we know what he adds that balance to their team and probably gives them the ability to, to potentially play a spinner in most of the test matches and balance the team out. So I think Root's the big one. And for me, it's going to be a shootout between him and Steve Smith. Their runs at the pivotal sort of number four position is going to be crucial to both teams' chances of getting big first innings totals.
And last one for you, no fifth test in Perth. It looks like it's a fait accompli. It's not going to be there because of the border restrictions and the government's hard line stance. Melbourne, day-nighter, pink ball, yes?
Yeah, look, it's obviously disappointing for Perth because it's a fantastic venue, and I think having covered a few tests there in the last few years, the wicket there has been magnificent for test cricket. Everyone's in the game. It's a good place to bat. Fantastic for the quicks. And Nathan Lyons love bowling there as well. So it's really disappointing. But look, these are the times we live in. I think, Melbourne obviously has got a massive chance if they want to host a day-night test. And commercially, it's going to be pretty hard to ignore from Cricket Australia's perspective. And particularly in, the mid-January festive season, you would think that it's going to be very, very well supported if it's the inaugural pink test in Melbourne. So I know Sydney's put their hand up as well. Whether they can have back-to-back tests is another matter. But I think either venue will be, fantastic for hopefully what is a great finish to the Ashes.
We'll hear you next Wednesday, 9 o'clock, alongside Jared and the team as we kick off our SEN Ashes coverage. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the summer and enjoy the Ashes. Thanks for joining us on Mornings This Morning.
My pleasure, Tim.